And finally tonight, this was Oscar nomination day. The Civil War era drama Lincoln led the pack with 12 nominations, followed by the fantasy Life of Pi with 11 and Les Miserables with 8. Another new film, Zero Dark Thirty, looking at contemporary history, received 5 nominations, including for Best Picture, Best Screenplay, and Best Actress. But even before it's been released nationally, the film is generating a great deal of debate.
We're still no closer to defeating our enemy.
The movie, starring Jessica Chastain as a tireless CIA operative, sweeps from the haunting first moments of the 9/11 attack to the successful raid on Osama bin Laden's compound in Pakistan in May of 2011. Director Catherine Bigelow and writer Mark Boal previously collaborated on the Oscar-winning 2009 film The Hurt Locker. The new film tells viewers at the beginning that it's based on accounts from those involved in the manhunt.
Puts the audience in the shoes of those individuals at the heart of the hunt. So it's very experiential.
A movie that's riveting, a movie that's powerful, a movie that's exciting, and a movie that takes you behind the scenes of a world that, quite frankly, is usually cloaked from public view.
I am bad news.
Indeed, the film captures the sometimes dreary, sometimes dramatic ways of so-called intelligence tradecraft.
I'm going to break you. Any questions?
The dogged pursuit of sources, clues, patterns, anything that might lead to the capture or killing of terrorists. The controversy has come over its, at times, graphic depiction of so-called enhanced interrogation and torture, including waterboarding.
Keep you awake.
Several prominent lawmakers, including Republican Senator John McCain, himself a victim of torture in the Vietnam War, criticized the film for suggesting that such methods were helpful in finding bin Laden. McCain spoke on CNN.
First of all, the brutality depicted there is very disturbing. Story is that torture does not work. It is hateful. It is harmful, incredibly harmful to the United States of America. And to somehow make people believe that it was responsible for the elimination of Osama bin Laden is, in my view, unacceptable.
McCain and Democratic Senator Dianne Feinstein, who heads the Senate Intelligence Committee, sent 2 letters to the acting CIA director demanding to know what information the agency had provided the filmmakers. At a Washington, D.C. screening at the museum Tuesday night, protesters dressed as detainees to show their objections. While inside, the filmmakers, who have said they deplore torture, told the NewsHour the dramatized account was intended to highlight an extraordinary intelligence effort.
Everybody's entitled to their opinion, and there's certainly moral complexity to that 10-year hunt. But what I'm most proud of is that the film sheds light on the individuals, the professionals in the intelligence community that spent in 10 years dedicated their lives, some of whom sacrificed their lives, to this very successful operation.
One of the things we look for when we look at a movie in my business or when we talk about a work of art is complexity and the ability of something to mean different things to different people.
Zero Dark Thirty opens nationwide tomorrow. I'm joined now by 2 journalists who've written widely on the 10-year hunt for Osama bin Laden and in recent weeks on the new film. Jane Mayer of The New Yorker is author of The Dark Side, the inside story of how the war on terror turned into a war on American ideals. Mark Bowden is author of Black Hawk Down. His latest book is The Finish, The Killing of Osama bin Laden. He writes for The Atlantic and teaches journalism at the University of Delaware. Jane Mayer, you've written that Zero Dark Thirty, quote, distorts a difficult history, seems to turn torture into morally neutral entertainment. Give me the essence of the problem that you see.
Well, I think the filmmakers say in the very beginning it's based on real accounts, so it sets up an expectation that it's going to be accurate history of what happened during those years in the war on terror. And instead what it does is it distorts the history, I felt, by leaving out the complete moral and ethical and political context in which this torture program took place. There were fights from start to finish about whether torture was something appropriate for the United States to get involved in. It's not just whether it worked, but it was whether we could do better and whether it was illegal and wrong. And not a whiff of that is in this movie. And so I felt by missing it, it missed the real drama of that period.
All right, Mark Bowden, you wrote, the criticism is unfair. Torture may be morally wrong, and it may not be the best way to obtain information from detainees, but it played a role in America's messy, decade-long pursuit of Osama bin Laden And Zero Dark Thirty is right to portray that fact. Explain.
Well, I think that, you know, that is a feature film that tries to present the story in broad strokes. And it shows, I think, appropriately that our early efforts to find bin Laden and the other al-Qaeda leaders involved the use of these interrogation methods. However, you know, the film itself, I don't think, is either pro-torture nor anti-torture. I think it just presents the story as it happened. And in fact, you know, in the early, more graphic scenes, shows torture to be both repellent and futile.
Well, Jane, you know, I mean, this gets to part of one of the questions, and when we saw the filmmakers talk about complexity of all this, how much do we even now, today, know about the early breakthroughs in the hunt for bin Laden?
It depends which we you're talking about. There actually is a huge record of this that's been compiled by the Senate Intelligence Committee, 6,000 pages long, which has not yet been released to the public. So reporters like myself, even though I've spent years covering this, have many gaps. I spent a couple hours today trying to compile what's known about how we found bin Laden. And basically, there are five detainees that gave shreds of information that got us to the courier that got us to bin Laden, as far as I can tell. There's a lot missing, which allows people with different points of view to manipulate the facts. So you've got people in the CIA trying to make it look like what they did was great and had to be done.
So are you saying, is it a question of the torture not having worked, or that in this movie they don't show that there was a great debate about whether it worked or whether it was moral?
Well, it's a combination. I mean, of course, you know, first of all, I should say, I think the movie, filmmakers have a right to make any movie they want. I'm all for artistic freedom. But in the same vein, as someone who really followed this history, I feel like I have the right to comment on what they've done. And what they've done is they have compressed a lot of very complicated facts into what's basically a slick kind of TV show, sort of police procedural, where it's very gripping and it's fun to watch, but there's no moral context. And basically, the question of whether torture works, I mean, that's complicated. Sometimes it did, sometimes it didn't. Frequently what happened was people lied. And what the CIA said in two very important cases is that they found bin Laden's courier because the lies tipped them off that there was something more going on. Now, I mean, that's a very shaky kind of basis on which to claim that torture worked. I mean, to say because they lied, it was a success.
Mark Bowden, come in on that. Respond. What did you see in this film?
Well, I think that, you know, I've written a book on the subject, so I can say, you know, with as much certainty as almost anyone at this point that, you know, torture did not present, the key information that led to bin Laden. There was never a moment where someone under pressure coughed up a critical piece of information. The true story is a lot more complicated than that. And I think it's actually reflected fairly well in the presentation in the film, in that the early, very repulsive and, as I said, ultimately futile torture sequences are followed by one where they try different tactics with the detainee, and he tells them a piece of information that is not directly relevant to what they're looking for, and that I don't think they, and it's showed this way in the film, either they or the detainee recognize, will become tremendously significant down the road. But that, nevertheless, is how that name of the courier first surfaces. So in my way of looking at it, that's, it's not exactly what happened. Clearly, the detainee portrayed is an amalgam. The dialogue is made up. But it reflects what I think fairly accurately what those early stages of the hunt were.
I actually would disagree in one way, which is this movie opens with someone being waterboarded. Nobody who was waterboarded ever gave information that led to finding bin Laden. And this detainee is held by the CIA in the beginning of the movie. Basically, the first shreds of information that came out about the courier came from people down in Guantanamo, which were held by the military, not the CIA. So this glorifies the CIA's worst torture methods, turns it into kind of a straight line that's like a necessary evil that gets you from waterboarding to finding bin Laden. I'd be surprised if many people in the country don't conclude torture's a necessary evil, well, and that the ends justify the means.
You know, that's where I wanted to go, and I'll come back to you, Mark, on this, because you sort of raised the, you know, it's a movie factor, right? I mean, it's a drama. It's a dramatization. And I'm thinking in my head today, we saw the nominations for another historical drama, Lincoln. I, like many people, saw it and liked it. And then we might realize that not everything is factual there. You're suggesting that that's okay in a sense, even though this is about more recent history, that we should see it as a kind of drama?
Yes, and I think that's how you should see it. I think that, you know, I've been critical somewhat of the hype around the film, that it's journalistic. It isn't. It's as truthful as any Hollywood movie, more than most, that purports to be based on a true story. I do think that, you know, when we get into the particulars of who first mentioned the name of Ahmed the Kuwaiti and under what circumstances, I don't think any of us knows precisely what happened. But I do think it's fair for the filmmakers to show that in those early years, the mistreatment of detainees during interrogation was fairly commonplace. And I think it's portrayed as very ugly and in a very, compromising way.
Can I just say one thing more? I'm a big fan of Marx, but I just think that what it doesn't show is, even in those earliest scenes when the first detainee was waterboarded, there was some of the people in that room threw a fit. You do not see that in this movie. There was an FBI agent who walked out and said, I won't have anything to do with this. It's illegal. It's wrong. It's what our enemies do. There's not a character in this movie who raises the question about whether torture is right or wrong, let alone whether it works.
All right, let me ask you just very briefly, though, in our last 30 seconds. Your fear here is that this portrayal will impact public understanding and possibly policy?
I think pop culture is incredibly powerful. I think the TV show 24, if you look at the numbers, changed public opinion, made people much more comfortable with torture.
And Mark, a last word from you on the same thing. Do you think this will affect public policy and public perception?
I think it'll affect the way people remember this story. I personally didn't take away, as Jane has, a strong message on the subject of torture one way or the other. I did, for instance, from the show 24, which is clearly pro-torture, not from this film.
Mark Bowden and Jane Mayer, thank you both very much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.